Chapter 9, Christ Jesus, by Juan Manuel Garcia de Alba. Jesus's knowledge and awareness. The possibility of applying our intellect to know the world around us is an attribute of our human condition, but it is no more than that, a possibility of knowing, and not a store of knowledge that all people must necessarily have. Prehistoric humans appeared on Earth knowing nothing, and each person is born into this world with a blank slate of knowledge. Coming to know is a slow process of experiences and learning. Jesus, like all people and like all children, took part in this process of human knowledge. Just as being human does not imply a store of knowledge that testifies to the human condition, being God in one's origin does not bring with it a store of knowledge that testifies to the divine condition. Jesus is not God because of what he knows. Knowledge is not what makes him God, nor is it a necessary consequence of his divine being. Jesus is God in spite of his ignorance and even of his mistakes. The gospel shows that Jesus was ignorant of many things, all those that he came to learn, and all those about which he formulated genuine questions, as well as things that challenged him in his personal life. It is true that Matthew prefers to present Jesus as he who knows all things, who does not need to ask anything, but these interpretations do not seem to have a historical foundation. There is nothing unusual about the fact that Jesus was mistaken in his interpretation of certain facts. We should not find that shocking, because it is in the nature of things to have multiple interpretations, and it is in the nature of the human condition not to perceive the meaning and ultimate reality of things infallibly on the first try. It is no sin to make a mistake. In fact, it has no moral connotation whatsoever, since it does not imply the person's awareness or freedom or responsibility. Only when an error involves the will and moral awareness can we relate it or identify it with sin. The truth is that we humans make mistakes all the time, and human knowing necessarily includes the possibility of error. Since all knowledge of the world, of reality, of history, and of circumstances is partial and limited and does not absolutely exhaust reality, there will always be fields that escape consideration. A person's knowledge, in the best of cases, is right from one perspective and wrong from many others. This does not mean that it is impossible for a person to apprehend the objective truth. The affirmation is that objective truth cannot be apprehended in all its aspects. Human knowledge is always limited and open to the possibility for error. This, while not making the person more human, reflects her limitation. A person does not become more of a person by knowing something, nor is a child less of a person for not knowing it. Knowledge perfects people and demonstrates their inclination toward knowing, but ignorance does not diminish them, but rather underscores the possibility of knowing. The only beings that can be called ignorant are those that are able to know. The process of knowledge does not diminish Jesus's divine condition. Being the true incarnate God did not give him extraterrestrial knowledge or paranormal functions. Divine knowledge, which is distinct from human knowledge, was incarnated in Jesus' human development. The incarnation is a message that speaks to the non-opposition between the divine and the human. So we cannot affirm Jesus' divine condition if it destroys or is incompatible with his human condition as directly and immediately revealed in the gospel, nor can we affirm his human condition without integrating it fully into his divine condition. And since what we know more directly, through our own life experiences and through the gospel, is Jesus' human condition, it stands to reason that the divine condition should be affirmed on the basis of the experience of living and the information from the gospel. The divine condition in the pre-paschal Jesus is in a state of kenosis, i.e. abasement. We should not think that Jesus, because he was God, must have had a store of knowledge about the world, existence, and life before he actually experienced these things, as if he had some kind of prefabricated knowledge. Jesus' divine nature is not manifested or demonstrated by his knowledge. Jesus was a human being before he realized he was one, just like any other person, and the same can be assumed with regard to his divine condition. Jesus' awareness, the awareness that all people gradually acquire of their identity and their mission, is something that develops slowly. If we try to discover our personal being in the light of psychological experience, we run the risk of identifying person with awareness. People perceive themselves through their awareness, and in it, our inner moods and movements are revealed to us. The person is both the subject and the object of her awareness, but she is not awareness itself. Awareness is distinct from the person. It presupposes the person, but the person does not presuppose awareness. In absolute terms, there can be unaware people. Only after much acting and after much reflection do we acquire the awareness of being human persons. Jesus became aware of himself, of his reality, and of his circumstances in a human way. Jesus' awareness could not be a store of transcendent human experiences that existed prior to his experiencing them. That would disconnect awareness from experience. The main object of knowledge is not oneself, but rather the surrounding world. Awareness is the recognition of oneself, and it is the fruit of much other knowledge to which it is linked. It awakens in the context of a community of people that help it be what it is, different, one among others, and similar, one with the rest. Knowing things before experiencing them would not make a person more human, and it would not make Jesus God. Self-awareness is not the necessary manifestation of a person's nature. The fact that Jesus is God from the first moment of his life does not necessarily require that he be aware of his divine condition. It is important to avoid two extremes: A, affirming that Jesus was never aware of his special relationship with the Father; B, and that Jesus was fully aware from the beginning and at all times of his divine condition. Our working hypothesis is that Jesus gradually became aware of both his condition as a human being and his condition as the Son of God. Jesus Christ was not aware of being the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, one in being with the Father. To affirm as much would be an anachronism and a projection onto Jesus' mind of the Church's belief as expressed in the first centuries of Church life. Jesus was not aware of being a human during the first years of his life. A baby is not aware of its own identity or of its human condition. To affirm otherwise implies a denial of human maturation. Jesus Christ gradually became aware of being a human and of being himself over the course of his life, owing to the specific succession of life experiences he had. For Jesus, the sacred scriptures and his own life experience determined the awareness he came to have of himself. He came to realize that he was the bearer of the kingdom. He was aware of the transcendent meaning of his words and actions, and of the redeeming quality of his passion and death. The resurrection was a fundamental defining event, full of revelation and fulfillment for Jesus himself. Jesus is God and at the same time fully and completely human. Completely does not mean exclusively. Jesus' human condition is the visualization, manifestation, and realization in history of his divine condition. The God that is revealed and given to us in Jesus is the incarnate God, not the abstract God, nor the God of metaphysical attributes, all-knowing, invisible, immortal, pure spirit, etc., but the God of history. If Jesus had taken one or more of the messianic titles as his own, they could serve as a starting point for us to deduce what Jesus' awareness of himself was. However, there is no evidence that Jesus identified with any of the images evoked by these titles, or that their use expressed the awareness he had of himself and his mission. It is important to avoid identifying what the early church affirmed with the testimony that Jesus historically gave of himself. Jesus did not bow to the demands his contemporaries made, urging him to take on the role of the Messiah. He did not declare himself in the context as the Messiah. Jesus was not the Messiah the Jewish people were longing for. Many exegetes believe that the texts in which Jesus accepts the title or declares himself to be the Messiah are a reinterpretation by the early Christian community. For this reason, we cannot use the title of Messiah as a window into Jesus' self-awareness. It is not easy to reach any kind of certainty that would allow us to use the titles to clarify Jesus' awareness of himself. In general, the titles offer very tenuous insight into the subject of Jesus' self-awareness. The titles tell us who Jesus was for the early Christian community, but not who he was for himself, because again, it cannot be affirmed that he applied these titles to himself. We believe that Jesus' self-awareness is revealed in the authority and freedom with which he acted, and which made such an impression on his contemporaries. The titles, despite the fact that they were taken from the cultural context of the Bible, are of secondary importance. They interpret and comment on Jesus' personality that is revealed in his attitude, his actions, and his words. Jesus shared no confidences of a psychological nature. The only testimony he gave of himself was his doctrine, which he personally carried out, and the way he did it, with authority and freedom. Jesus' awareness must be sought out in the place where it really became visible, in his personal freedom. The fact that he did not appeal to any authority or justify his declarations with the Word of God, as the prophets did, was absolutely unprecedented in the Jewish world. This personal decision, together with his filial attitude toward God as his father, is what best characterizes and reveals Jesus' personality and awareness. This explains why it was not so much his message as his attitude that provoked the scandal, giving rise to the conflict that led to his death sentence. We can affirm, on the basis of Jesus' attitudes and freedom, as well as the imminence of the kingdom, that Jesus must have been aware of being the eschatological prophet, the most important of the prophets, since he came to proclaim the end of time, the teacher, revealer, who taught the road, the truths, and the attitudes that counted in the end, the revealer of the true God, the Savior, and the criterion of salvation for all people when they accept or reject him, the bearer of God's love and forgiveness and of the gifts of the kingdom, a new heaven, a new earth, and new human relationships. He was aware of being God's envoy for inaugurating the kingdom. Jesus became aware of being a man, like any other human person. The fact that Jesus is a divine person, in the metaphysical and theological sense, in no way keeps him from developing as a human being. To think that Jesus was all-knowing about himself is to think that not all of him had incarnated. It is to think that history had nothing to say to him. It is to turn his questions, his learning, his attitude of seeking and discernment into play-acting. And what would be worse, it is to divide him by imagining him acting sometimes as disincarnate God and sometimes as a man. It must be pointed out that the New Testament is more explicit when considering Jesus' knowledge and awareness than the understanding that we assume Jesus had of himself. This does not deny, but rather presupposes Jesus' progressive self-awareness. Jesus' self-awareness seems to derive directly from his mission, and not the mission from his self-awareness.